this morning, we're looking at a time in which Jesus was out in the wilderness. And as the scripture starts, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, returned from being baptized, and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Now, have you all seen pictures of the wilderness in Judea? When we think about wilderness in the United States, especially in Florida, we probably think of scrub pines and palmettos and sand and armadillos. You know, is that the kind of wilderness you think of? Perhaps you think of the wilderness you've seen of the beautiful pictures of the Rocky Mountains. But when you're thinking of the wilderness that Jesus was in, you really need to think more in terms of a desert. A hilly, rocky, desolate, lonely, deserted place. Seems an odd place for Jesus to go right after being baptized, right after hearing the word of the Lord say, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And off he goes, led by the Spirit, full of the Spirit, into this lonely, desolate place called the wilderness. It's even more intriguing to me what the scripture says happened to him there. For it says, for 40 days he fasted, and we assume pray, although it doesn't say that specifically, but he was also tempted. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear words full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit, these to me are times when I would be least vulnerable to hearing temptation. I expect those moments when I'm full of the Holy Spirit to be just wonderful moments of rapture with God, and I don't really think about those being moments full of temptation. And yet that's what our scripture says. Jesus was led in the wilderness by the Spirit. He was full of the Spirit, and yet still, this was a time of great temptation. He ate nothing. He was fasting. It's a discipline of spirituality that at some point I think we need to rediscover and talk about more in the church. It's a very practical reason to fast while you're in the wilderness. There's nothing to eat. And if you're going to stay in that desolate place, if you're going to stay under the direction of the Spirit out in the wilderness, you're going to have to forego some comforts to be able to do that. And one of them is eating. It was during this time that he became famished. Makes a lot of sense. And that the devil jumps on the opportunity. If you're the Son of God, just take this rock and turn it into a loaf of bread. Certainly God had fed the people in the wilderness at the time of Moses. God had brought water from a rock and bread from the ground. There's nothing all that evil in anything. It's just simply an innocent suggestion. It's a suggestion to act like God instead of serve and follow God. And so Jesus answers, it's not by bread alone that we live. Do you know the rest of that scripture? One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Wilderness time is probably the most often used reference for talking about Lent. This is the introductory scripture that's used on the first Sunday of Lent as an invitation to follow Jesus into the wilderness. I was talking with Phil earlier, and it's interesting to me that of all of the seasons of the church, Lent seems to be the last to be embraced by the Protestant church. We've called it Catholic with a sneer, and all kinds of other names in order to avoid embracing Lent. we think of Lent and we say, well, you know, that's the time when you give something up. You know, what does that really have to do with spirituality? But it's a time of identifying with Christ, identifying with Christ's struggle, with Christ's journey towards the cross, and with Christ's suffering. And the tradition of giving something up for Lent comes out of that identifying with Christ's journey towards the cross, identifying with His sacrifice for us, and identifying with His struggle and suffering. That's not the only way, however, to celebrate Lent. Because Lent is that time of identifying with Christ's journey towards the cross, identifying with His struggle, identifying with His temptation. Now, when I read this scripture about the temptation of Christ, I really like to look at and think about how Christ was tempted. And the interesting way in which Satan approaches Him, the way He responds, the meaning of these temptations, it's all kind of an academic and hypothetical pursuit. It's all very comfortable and agreeable to me. But if I'm being asked to identify with Christ in the wilderness, then I'm also being asked to identify with the temptation, to think about the temptation in my life. And that's not quite so comfortable. I think it's another reason we like to keep Lent as a season kind of as arm's distance. It's fine to talk about, but to really experience Lent, it's going to require something of us. And I think that's a difficult concept. It's going to require that we identify with some of the roughest and most difficult times in Jesus' ministry. And it's going to require that we take off the mask that we put on during Mardi Gras and during so much other times in our life and pretend. It's going to require that we take off the mask and that we look at who we really are. Jesus went into the wilderness to pray and fast, to prepare for His ministry, and to look head on at the temptations that were in His life, the different ways of being in ministry, of being a person who simply provided what people wanted, bread, food, needs, and forgot about providing people the more ultimate, the Word of God. He was tempted to be the kind of Messiah that would take the shortcut, not suffer, but listen to the lie that says, hey, it all belongs to Satan, worship him, he can give it to me, to do it the easy way. He wrestled with the temptation to have his ministry be about glory, jumping off the pinnacle of the temple, wowing everybody with his miracles. There are other ways to look at these temptations, but really they are his struggles. And he goes into the wilderness, full of the Holy Spirit, and he takes off the masks in his life and looks at the temptations, looks at the voices he's hearing, allows them to speak. And that should not be a surprise to us, because we are hearing those voices in our life all the time. Everybody hears those voices of temptation. And maybe that's the first thing we really need to take seriously in looking at this scripture is, we, as Christians, even full of the Holy Spirit, totally committed to Christ, are not immune to temptation. We are going to hear the voices, those voices that say, come this way. Everybody's doing it. Financial success, that's the way to go. Yeah, I know you took those wedding vows, but this person is just not that interesting anymore. There's more interesting things out there to do and see and be. every time you open the newspaper, every time you turn on the television, every time you go to work, and even around the dinner table in Christian homes, we hear those voices calling us to be and do things that are different than the voice of God. The surprise is not that those voices are there or that we hear them. The surprise is when we can actually hear the voice of God. And we can identify it as God's voice, and more than that, we can see how it doesn't line up with these other voices we are hearing. Jesus went out into the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is what allowed him to truly hear not just the voice of the devil, the voice of temptation, the voice of the alternative ways of doing things. But it was in that desolate, quiet place, a place of nothingness, a place of taking time out to listen to the voice of God, that Jesus could determine the difference between what these voices were saying and what his true calling was to be the Messiah. We are invited during Lent to enter the wilderness. It's more fun to talk about it as the Mount of Transfiguration, that mountaintop experience. It's a way for God where everything is glorious. But it's during the season of Lent that we are invited to enter the wilderness, a place of desolation, a place of nothingness, a place of quiet, where all the busy, noisy, chaotic voices of this world can be shut off, and we can listen. Listen for the voice of God. And in hearing the voice of God, begin to be able to determine how it differs from these other voices we hear so often. The good news is that Jesus Christ was tempted, and therefore, we should not be so shocked when we're tempted. It's okay to be tempted. It's okay to hear the other voices. But it doesn't stop there. The good news is that in the power of Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of knowing who he was in God, Jesus was able to say no to the voices. No, that's not what God says. This is what God says, and this is who I am, and this is who I'm going to be. And we have that same power in Christ. That same Holy Spirit's been given to us. So that during this time of Lent, we can listen. Not simply to the voices that we hear every day, but to that voice of God breaking in and calling us to yet a better way. During the season of Lent, we've given you lots of opportunities. I've given you the prayer packets, we have the upper rooms. There's a special time of prayer on Sunday mornings at 9:45. A Lenten study at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. A prayer study at 6 on Wednesday nights. Our worship service every Sunday. And lots of other ways which you could think about taking some time this Lent to listen for the voice of God. Because it's pretty hard to say no to the voices of this world and yes to the voice of God if you're not hearing God's voice. And if Jesus needed to take time away from the hustle and the bustle of the world to hear it, and he was Jesus, I mean so closely connected to God that he was God himself, fully human and fully divine, still in his humanness, he had to take time away. He had to have a special practice of praying before he did any active ministry and praying as he followed up, spending this incredible time in the wilderness in order to clearly hear God's voice and how it differed from the other voices he was going to hear throughout his ministry. If Jesus had to take that kind of time to be able to distinguish between the voices. I have to sit here and think, who am I? Who am I to think that just because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I am no longer going to be vulnerable to the voices of that world. I am no longer going to be led astray by some invitation that differs from God's. Who am I to not remember that I am still going to have to resist temptation? I am still going to have to listen for God's voice. One of the ways in the church that we listen for God's voice is in the act of communion. As we come forward and take of the bread and the cup, God is fully present. Christ is fully present at that table. So as we prepare to go to this time of communion, we're going to sing a song of preparation. And